This acronym is LIFE, L-I-F-E, L-I-F-E, LIFE. And the acronym that the Lord placed in my heart is Living in Fellowship Eternally with Jesus Christ. So LIFE is Living in Fellowship Eternally. All right? That's the thought that I'd like to convey. If we would go to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter. Some Bible theologians, I guess, and scholars have noted that Romans is considered the 5th gospel. Anybody? And Paul, he writes this letter to the church at Rome, and he lays out some important teachings as it relates to our salvation and as it relates to God. And in the chapter, he makes it clear that we are not under the law in this chapter in Romans. He makes it clear that we are justified. We have been put in right standing with God because of our faith in what Jesus Christ has accomplished in his life, in his ministry while here on earth, in his sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary, in his resurrection from the dead on the 3rd day according to the scriptures, in his ascension back to heaven, and in his outpouring of the promised Holy Ghost. And when we as humans put our faith and our confidence and our obedience into this gospel message, then we are recipients of this great salvation that Jesus himself has purchased and secured for us. So in many of Paul's letters, he usually starts them off to the saints at the various locations. And the saints are the ones, that's an abbreviated word for the sanctified ones, the set aside ones, the ones who have been separated by their obedience to God's plan of redemption and salvation for all mankind. And once we become a part of the saints, there are specific benefits and blessings and truths that we receive and we embrace and we order our life by. And that is the Word of God. So, in this book of Romans, Paul asks a question about us, because we're not under law but under grace, should we continue in sin? And in some versions he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We need to remind ourselves that we are dead to sin. We are dead to sin because of what Jesus has done. Now, the reason that we need to remind ourselves on a consistent basis that we're dead to sin is because we are still encased in this sinful flesh. So there is a tendency, if we are not careful, if we are not vigilant, if we are not sober-minded, that we will give in to the thing that we are encased in, that we will give in to the thing that surrounds us. We're living in a sinful environment. We're living, we are enhoused again in something that has no good thing in it. The Bible clearly lets us know that no good thing dwells in the flesh. So if we operate with our own human reasoning without God, then we are operating in the flesh. And if we operate under our own human reasoning without God, then we fall back into a category momentarily, or however long that moment lasts, that we go back into bondage. Scripture lets us know to stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So those of us who have tasted of the goodness of God, because we have tasted of the goodness of God, and because we have the earnest expectation of our inheritance, that is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God that he placed in us when we were born again. We have a down payment on the full inheritance that we will receive when it's fully manifested. So those of us who have this earnest expectation, then that means that we have the power, the capacity, the ability, and the responsibility to live free from sin. Yes, we do. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1 is where we will begin our scriptural walk this morning. I have the Amplified version of the Bible. It says in verse number 1, "What shall we say to all this? What shall we say to all that God has done for us? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, his favor, and mercy may multiply and overflow?" Verse 2 says, "Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? A thought came to my mind as I was looking at this the other day. Have we really died to sin? Or are we just in a coma? Have we really died to sin? You know, sometimes when people are in a coma, they're in that state for a good while. And through the providence of God, sometimes people come out of the coma, and sometimes people don't. But one thing we know for sure is that if an individual is dead, they're dead. So how do we consider ourselves as it relates to sin? Are we in a coma? And if the right thing comes along to spark our interest, will we revive? Or are we truly dead to sin? Scripture goes on and lets us know in verse 3, "Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" We need to understand and remind ourselves of this fact. Verse 4 says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by the baptism into death." We identified with the death of Jesus Christ. This is why I believe it's so critical and important and imperative for a person to repent before they go into the waters of baptism. It is critical that a person has made up their mind that they're through with their old lifestyle, that they're through sinning, that they're through walking, as it were, according to their own mind, that they're through being a puppet of the devil, and that they have completely and irrevocably made up their mind that I'm going to live for God. They have to be sorry. An individual must be sorry for their sins. An individual must acknowledge their sins. An individual must not make any excuses or try to explain away for their sins, because you can't explain away sins, but Jesus can wash away your sins. So this is a critical part of salvation, and this is a necessary part to the new birth experience. An individual must repent. You cannot be pushed just by your emotions. You shouldn't be pushed just by your friend or your family member wanting you to, quote unquote, join the church. This is the church of God, and you can't join the church. You have to be born in the church. You got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. But it has to take place a change in your heart. This is Friends and Family Day, and we should want all our friends and family to be saved. We should want all our friends and family to experience genuine repentance. And one of the wonderful things about the grace of God is the grace of God that leads us to repentance. God is so gracious, and he's so kind in his dealing with us. He is so forbearing and long-suffering. God will allow certain things to happen in our lives when we're not saved, and trying to get our attention and to let us see the goodness of God. It was the goodness of God that spared your life in this situation, the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God that spared your life in that situation. It was the goodness and mercy of God that he allowed one of his children to come and just speak a word to you in passing, and these things are on your mind. So God is so gracious and kind. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. That doesn't mean that somebody's not going to perish, but somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to be lost. Somebody's going to go to hell, but it don't have to be you. God is willing. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's his grace that leads us to repentance. And I'm so glad, and I know you are too, that when God's grace was revealed and extended to all of us, we readily accepted the grace and the mercy of God, and we received what God had in mind for us, the very salvation of our souls. And so now we stand justified. We stand in a good and proper standing with God, not because of what we have earned, but because of what Jesus Christ has done, and because of us putting our faith in what he has done. And our faith has to be a continuing faith. Our faith must be ongoing. Our faith must be consistent, and we must line up our lives and order our lives according to the word of God. So we want life. We have life. We want to continue life. We want to be living in fellowship eternally. The Bible lets us know that we're sitting right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have life. We have the life. We have the very life that God has given. We have that eternal life because we have received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. So Paul continues. He said, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. Anybody want to have it? Anybody ever had a drug habit besides me in here? All right, don't be scared. You can raise your hand. I said had, not have. Amen. I'm so glad. But now just reflect back just for a moment. We did everything that we could to maintain and feed that habit when we had it. Isn't that correct? Amen. Now, your habit may not have been a drug habit, but whatever habit you had, you did everything that you could to maintain maintain, support, and sustain that habit. And so what God, I believe, is letting us know here in the latter part of verse 4 is just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we too might habitually live and behave in the newness of life. I got a new habit. Glory. Hallelujah. I got a new habit. And my new habit, our new habit, should be to live and behave in the newness of life. I got a habit that I don't want to kick. Glory. Hallelujah. We have a habit that we shouldn't want to kick. We should be habitually living. We should be habitually walking. It should be our very nature to walk and live unto God, just like Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead by the power of the Father, so we too might walk habitually, live, and behave in the newness of life. How are we walking? How are we behaving? Does our behavior indicate that we got a Jesus habit? I need a Jesus habit. We need a Jesus fix. If you know, we did anything for that fix. But thank God we got a Jesus fix. Anybody else got a Jesus fix? Anybody else got a Jesus habit? Anybody can't live without Jesus? Anybody look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith? Is anybody else, if you allow me, jonesing for Jesus? When you jonesing, that means you were like this, and your body was going through some physical and mental things because you needed to get your fix. How many of us? I hear the Bible says, "As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." When the last time we craved Jesus like that? When's the last time we were strung out on Jesus? We need to get strung out on Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the scripture goes on to say, For if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. So our life now is not about ourselves, or it shouldn't be, if we are a part of the people that Paul addressed in this letter, if we are the saints. And I believe we got a house full of saints. Amen. So if you are a saint, if you are a sanctified one, then our life should be a new life lived for God. Verse number 6 says, we know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, this is the instrument of sin. Our bodies is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. So inactive, our bodies are inactive for sin. So there's some questions that comes in our minds. What is your body doing? Is it inactive? Is it inactive? Your body is an instrument of sin. And it has to be. You have to make sure that you understand that if we are saved, and since we are saved, we were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. We were nailed to that cross. That old body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil. Is our body active for evil, or is it ineffective? Now, we have to understand that when he talks about the body, we have to go a little further and deal with our faculties. We have to deal with what's on our mind. Is evil on our mind on a consistent basis, or when evil tries to influence our minds, do we combat it with the very word of God? I hear the Bible say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Who's a part of the resistance? Remember, we said earlier, we're in a war, and we can't sit back, and we can't hope somebody else will go to the front line. all of us sanctified ones, we're frontline soldiers. We're not in the reserve, and we're not in God's National Guard. All of us are on active duty. That means you're on duty 24/7. That means you get no R&R. You get no rest and no relaxation. That's maybe why God said, wait on the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. But we got to wait in a proper mode. We got to wait with the proper mindset that we're going to fight. We're going to fight the good fight of faith, and we're going to lay hold on eternal life. Listen, we've come too far to back up off of what we stand on. We've come too far. We done crossed too many roads. We done took too much territory that we should just give up. We're not the giving up kind. We're going forward with the Lord because the Lord is our leader. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So listen, when you take away the fear of dying from an individual, that individual is a powerful individual. When you take away the fear of getting hurt or the fear of losing from an individual's mind, that individual will do great exploits even in a natural environment. But we can take that a step further. Listen, our God is the God of the living, and he is not the God of the dead. So God has already given us everlasting life when he's given us the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. So we don't have to fear what man can do to us. We can stand on God's word. We can declare what God says in his word about his kingdom and about us who are in his kingdom. We can stand on God's very word and say, my God, he will supply all of my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We can stand and say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not lack. Where do you get that from? I got that from the very word of God. We can stand and declare what God has said. We have to stand on his word. And see, he tells us, reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. Listen, sin don't have no more reign over our life, because when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he broke the power, he broke the dominion of sin and brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. We're children of light. We're people of light. And Jesus, he declared in John, he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So we have this light, and we dare not, we should not, we must not take this light and hide it under a bushel, because we're living in some perilous time. The world is in gross darkness, and gross darkness is covering the people. If there ever was a time for the light of God to illuminate and be manifested in the true sons of God, which is who we are, the time is right now. The time is right now. Rise and shine, for the light hath come, and the glory of God shall be revealed. Let your light shine. That's what life is all about. That's what living in fellowship eternally is all about. We are the light of the world. And look at the world. Look at what's going on in government. Look at what's going on in our country with this crazy election. Glory, hallelujah. I got an election for you. Make your calling an election sure. Glory, hallelujah. I don't care who gets in the kingdom of men. You better get into the kingdom of God. That's life. That's life. You got a vote you can cast, and you ain't got to wait till November. You can cast your vote for Jesus right now. Glory, hallelujah. That's life. That's living in fellowship eternally. That's life. Don't put your confidence in man. No man. Glory. Hallelujah. We got to put our confidence, we got to put our trust, we got to put our hope in Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Put 100% of your confidence, 100% of your trust in Jesus. Glory. That's life. We're living in fellowship with him. See, the enemy don't want you to know that you already in fellowship with him. The enemy don't want you to know that you already have exceeding great and precious promises. The enemy don't want you to know that you have the power to speak over your life. He don't want you to know that. But I just came to remind somebody that you're living in fellowship eternally. That's life. Glory. Hallelujah. We don't have a sentence of death. We got a life sentence. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, I was facing the sentence of 25 years in prison. Yes, I was. Glory. Hallelujah. But by God's grace, only did 3 months. I feel like shouting on that. Glory. Hallelujah. Only did 3 months. You been locked up? Yeah, I've been locked up. But guess what? I got a new lockup now. I'm locked up, I'm tied up, and I'm tangled up, and I'm bundled up with Jesus. And I don't only have a life sentence, I got an eternal life sentence. Glory, with no parole. Glory, hallelujah. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Glory. And I'll take being God's prisoner any day. Woo, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. I feel good in my soul. Amen. We got life, y'all. What you got? Life. Glory. I got life. Glory. Hallelujah. What you got? I got life. How much time you doing? I'm doing life. Life with who? Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. And pretty soon, glory, pretty soon, my transfer paper's going to come in. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to the big house. Glory. Hallelujah. In a moment, I feel like preaching. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to the big house, y'all. We going to the big house. Yes, your transfer papers have already been signed, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, glory, hallelujah, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then those of us who are alive and remain, glory, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Transfer, boom, approved. Transfer, boom, approved. God knows our name. Listen, he knows our name. He said, transfer, approved, approved, approved. And then we're going to the big house. What do you mean, big house? I hear the word said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's what Jesus said. In my Father's house, glory. That's the big house, y'all. That's where we're going to get transferred to. That's the big house. There are many mansions. There's enough room for everybody that wants to go. Where you going? To the big house. Oh, yeah, to the big house. I'm going to the big house. We ain't going to worry about escaping. Glory. Ain't going to be no tunnels in that house. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel good in my soul. I preach to myself. See, I know what it is to be locked up. Glory. I know what it is not to have the freedom to do what you want to do. But when, wait a minute, when we get to the big house, we got the freedom to praise God, make as much noise as we want. But some of us ain't ready yet. Some of us ain't ready for the big house, but we can't make no noise for God in the little house. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. I dare you to praise God like you want to go to the big house. Lift up a praise for God. Say, I'm ready. Listen, listen. Glory. Hallelujah. God, when we come in here, it's like you going before the parole board. God wants to see you. Have I made any change in your life? Have you been reconciled? Have you thought about my mercy? Have you thought about my grace? Look at all the benefits. You in here? Are you doing good time? You got your arms folded or you got your arms raised? When we have our arms raised and giving praise, that's good time. God puts it on the books. You got some good time. God said, I'm going to get you up out of here for your good behavior. For your good manner of living, your transfer has come through. So God might come for us as an individual, or he'll come for us as a group. But whatever, he's coming, and we're going to the big house. Because we got life, living, and fellowship eternally. I'm serving a life sentence, and I'm glad about it. I don't need no glory. I don't need no jack-leg lawyer trying to reduce my sentence. Glory, I got life, and I'm happy with it. No, you plead for yourself, but I take what Jesus did. Amen. Ooh, he's my advocate. Glory, hallelujah. I got the best defense counsel in the world and out of the world. Jesus Christ the righteous. I got life. I'm a life for y'all. Yeah, see? Oh, wow. Let y'all into a little window. On the yard, the lifers kind of hung together. On the yard, the lifers hung together because they ain't got nothing to lose. You know, you don't go talking no stuff to a lifer because he'll cut you. So when the devil try to talk some stuff, remember, you're a lifer. Cut his feet out from under him. Devil trying to tell you, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to. Cut that rascal. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and cut his feet off. Tell him, back up. You don't know who you messing with. I'm rolling with Jesus. You got to talk bad to that rascal. He talks bad to you. You ain't got to sit there and take it. You're a lifer. Or you should be a lifer. Now, okay, I got to go here. I done left the scriptures, but it's scriptural principle, if you believe it or not. Some ain't lifers yet. Some ain't lifers yet. Some... When I first was locked up, yes, I was locked up, y'all know. When I was first locked up, they keep you in segregation until you get checked out by the doctor. Make sure you can go to general population. So they keep you in segregation, and if you're a knucklehead like I was, they put you on a reduced diet, 120 calories a day. Lord, have mercy. First time I saw half of a chicken leg and lettuce and water, you know, because I thought I was bad. Let me wipe some of the sweat off me. And they keep you in general population. You'll see where I'm going in a minute. Yeah, you're in the building, but you're not in the general population. You're segregated. You're quarantined. But I don't think you even get credit for the time you serve in quarantine. You got to get in the general population for your days to start counting. In some facilities. I haven't been in them all. I wasn't that bad. But anyway, in some facilities. And then once you're cleared by the doctor, then you take your stuff and you move it out, you go into general population. Okay, so what am I trying to say? Y'all asking good questions. Some of you in the building, but you're segregated. You haven't completed your new birth experience. You're segregated. You've just been baptized, but you haven't received the Holy Ghost. You ain't ready for general population. all the transfers come through out of general population. Huh? That's all. You can't be segregated and expect a transfer. Huh? No. If you want a transfer to come through, you got to go through and make sure you make it to general population. So don't be satisfied just getting baptized in water. That's just segregation. But you want to be in the general population. And the way you get in general population in this house, in order to make it to the big house, you need the Holy Ghost. There will be no translation from segregation. There will be translation from general population. Because it's open to everybody. Anybody else serving life? I got a life sentence. I couldn't go back if I wanted to, because I don't want to go back. I got life. I got life. And when we have life, since we have life, no matter what things happen, and yes, some hard things happen on this side of eternity, but it doesn't kill or quench my hope, because I got life. I got life. And in this life, I have God's word that he will not put on me more than I am able to bear, but with the temptation, he will make a way, he will provide a way of escape so that I am able to bear it. That's a part of our sentence. So whatever comes, whatever goes, whoever stays, or how many knows, I got life. I have life. Tell yourself, I have life. Now, if you ain't got it, don't tell yourself that. But if you ain't got it, you can get it today. All it takes is repentance. All it takes is repentance. So let me get back to a verse. Verse 6, I think that's where I stopped. Okay, let's try 7. For when a man dies, he's freed, loose, delivered from the power of sin among men. Anybody died in Christ? Remind yourself, I'm free. I'm loose. I'm delivered from the power of sin. We need to tell ourselves that. I'm free. I'm delivered. I'm loosed from the power of sin. Because sin ain't got no power over me. All right. Let's take a little dose of, just a tad bit of cod liver oil? That's what we turn our mouth up with. When I sin, y'all got quiet. You ain't repeating that, huh? All right, okay. Let me get something else. Let no man say that when they sin, they are tempted of God. Because God tempteth no man. God can't be tempted with evil. All right, let's see if y'all gonna follow me now. When I sin, okay, ain't nobody. All right. Oh, okay, I'll say it. No, it's all right. Too late now. I'll give y'all 2 chances. When I sin, there is a choice that has been made on some level. I may not sin intentionally, but God's word declares that I'm free, I'm loosed, I'm delivered from the power of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ that in my flesh I serve the law of sin. But in my spirit, I serve the law of God. So God is my strength, he's my source, my ability, my power, my might, my knowledge, my wisdom, and my grace to live a life that is pleasing to him. So sin has no more dominion over me. Put your hand on yourself and say, over me. And I will live a life according to God's word. And thank God for his grace. I don't look to sin, but God is so loving and so kind that he has already declared, if we confess our sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give God praise for that. Amen. Amen. That's what happens in a war. That's what happens in a war. You take ground, you lose a little. You get injured, but you get up. And thank God, when we're on the battlefield and we get injured, we can call for the medic. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! We can call for the medic. When we're in the trenches and we're interceding, and someone is interceding on our behalf, and we're engaged in real spiritual warfare, sometimes we get nicked up. Sometimes we get cast down, but not destroyed. Glory, hallelujah. And when we get cast down, we call for a medic, and his name is Jesus. He's the great physician. He is the Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that healeth us. So when we are in battle, now if you're in battle, expect some time to get a little injured. Yeah. Oh, glory. But guess what? It ain't nothing but a flesh wound. Glory. Hallelujah. It ain't nothing but a flesh wound. And I hear the Bible said, he that suffereth in the flesh has ceased from sin. So I'll take the flesh wound as long as I can call the medic. I'll call Jesus. Jesus, I got hit pretty hard that time. Oh, and I hear him say, my grace is sufficient because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'll be weak for Jesus because I want his strength. I want the glory of his strength to rest on me. So if I got to fight the enemy with a limp or a hitch in my step, I ain't backing up. I'll drag my leg. I'll drag my back. I'll drag my arm or whatever I got to drag, but I ain't giving the enemy no room to have a party over my life. I'm going forward. I hear the Bible said the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. We're not the drawback kind. So if I might not be able to go as fast as you can go, that's why we're the young folks at. That's why you got to go, young folk. I hear God said in his word, he called the young because they're strong. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. You're stronger than you think. You hear what I said? I said you're stronger than you think. You ain't a weakling. You don't serve a weak God. So be strong. Stand up on that campus. Stand up in your hood and let them know you're a child of God. He called the old because we know the way. We ain't got no business making young folk mistakes. Lord, help me here today. We ain't got no business, old folk, making young folk mistakes. God said he called us because we know the way. So since we know the way, walk in it. Because the generation, if the Lord tarries, the generation come behind us got to see a clear path. We don't want a muddy path with in and out. In and no. The Bible said the path of the justice is like a shining day. Huh? And it gets brighter and brighter. So the more we walk in this life sentence, the more light should be on our path. Glory, there should be no smoke behind our name. Should be righteousness, holiness, sanctification. That's clear enough. That a fool or a wayfaring man will not err therein. So we have a responsibility to those coming behind us to live out this life sentence. When one of the saddest things, and I think I'll wind up. I got some more scripture, but maybe next time. One of the saddest things that will ever be experienced in our present human prison system is for a father to be serving time, and then his son comes to the same house. All the while, when visitation was going on, the father was trying to tell the son, man, don't do what I did. Don't do it. Don't do it. But too often, the son follows in the footsteps for a multiplicity of reasons. But all this is engineered, I believe, by the enemy. But for a multiplicity of reasons, the son finds himself caught up in the same or similar things that the father was caught up into. And then the word comes on the yard. Your boy's in here. And then, sure enough, when they bring the people in, you see your boy. And then, here's the trick. Your heart is broken, but you got people on the yard. So you can't let them see you show emotion of your broken heart. Of course, they're going to think you soft. And if they think you soft, they're going to get to your boy. So you got to be on swole. You got to walk around like ain't nothing phasing you. But in your heart's broken because you tried to tell your son, don't do what I did. Our heart breaks when our children take the path that we didn't show them. I'm talking about in the church now. Because just let me be real with y'all. Real with us. You who have a or both saved parents, you don't realize how blessed you really are. No, you don't realize it. And then you don't understand there's two heartbreaks that takes place. When you choose to walk in a path that was not shown to you by your saved parent or parents, there's two hearts that break. First, you break the heart of God. That's most important. And then you break your parents' heart. Because you know that they ain't show you nothing like what you're doing. You know it. So cut it out. I ain't your mama. I ain't your daddy. But I say cut it out. Cut it out! Let me get over here. I don't want to put that on one side. Cut it out. They showed you better. And you know they showed you better. Cut it out. They want you to have the same life sentence that they have. Their prayers are on you. You're going to be out there for a little while. You're going to be out there for a little while, but God ain't lost none. So you can act a fool. I'm not calling you a fool. I said you can act a fool if you want to. But God got something for you. You hear what I said? God, and it's life. That's what he got for you. So quit banging your head against the wall thinking, oh, mom, oh, dad. You better say, oh, man, at the end of a prayer. Huh? Because there's some prayers following you. That's why you ain't jump off like your friend jumped off. Because there's some prayers following you. God knows how to deal with you. He ain't got to tell nobody about you but him and you. But sometimes he'll let your parent know. Okay? Oh, you all in my business. No, God's in your business. You all in my business. No, God's in your. How can you hide that foolishness from God? You got life. See, the devil make you think, oh, ain't nobody seen this. Liar. God seen it. Even the scripture says, even the darkness is as the light in his sight. We got life, y'all. So praise God for life. Now, when we started, we said this letter was to the saints. So if you're not a part of that yet, there's a sentence that you can receive today. You can receive a life sentence of eternal life. You can begin today to live in fellowship eternally. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. Be sorry. God, I'm sorry. I ain't making no excuses. I'm just sorry. I realize I'm a sinner. I'm wrong, God. I'm wrong. Ain't nothing about me right. I'm wrong. Repent. Be sorry for your sins. And have your mind made up that I'm going to live for God. I'm totally giving myself to God. Repent of your sins. When you repent, not until then we'll baptize you in water. Because we don't want to put a wet devil, we don't want to put a dry devil in the water and come up a wet devil. All you did was got wet. You could have did that at home in your shower. We want you to repent. Repent. Make up your mind that you're dead to your old life. Dead to it. I'm not going back to it again. I'm not going back to sin. No matter what shape or condition, I'm not going back to fornication. I'm not going back to adultery. I'm not going back to drugs, alcohol, stealing, you name it. Fill in the blank, whatever you're doing, I'm not going back to it. I'm through. I want life. I want this life sentence. I want eternal life. If that's you, and you're here today, don't care who's sitting near you, around you, in front of you, who invited you, make your way down to this altar right now. If that's you, once you repent,